The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's tough to describe this scene. The crowd just pumped.
You know, I think everyone's really, you know, excited. It's week one in the National Football League.
Was blocked, picked up by the Steelers. That's a Pittsburgh touchdown.
And obviously, it's not how we wanted to start the season.
Welcome to the NFL, Devontae Smith.
DeAndre Hopkins, his second of the first half.
I had all faith in the world that we were going to get it done.
I had no idea when or if I was going to play.
Saints score again.
We played bad. I played bad. One game, we got 16 to go.
Sam Darnold to his old favorite Jets target.
Touchdown, City Hawks!
There's nothing we can't do.
Welcome to L.A., Matthew Stafford.
The third fumble of the afternoon against New England.
It's definitely part of the learning process. I know I'm going to respond well.
The Chiefs have not slowed down Cleveland at all.
Mahomes starts a run! Travis Kelce, touchdown! The Chiefs have the lead!
I think we just have a lot of belief in this team, and we think that we can win no matter what the situation is.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What
is it that we do?
We get a people what they want.
What a day of football yesterday. Week one was amazing, and we start with the biggest upset of the day. For those that don't watch Jalen and Jacoby, I told you the Saints were going to win. I told you, but they just win. They waxed the pack. Here's what Aaron Rodgers said after the game.
I mean, I'll let him use those words, and I'll use, it's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game. We got 16 to go.
After the offseason that Aaron Rodgers just had, we knew that this was going to be a drama-filled season, but we didn't know it was going to start like this. Jalen Rose, what do you think about the shellacking the Saints handed the Packers?
Homie looked stressed at the press conference. It's been a long off season, right? And here's the thing. Not only did he struggle, so did Devontae Adams. So did Aaron Jones. As a matter of fact, the entire offense did. Oh, wait. The entire team did. The same Green Bay Packers that was in the NFL's Final Four the last two seasons, who many like myself anticipated them to get back to that point, which they still can. This was a terrible opening performance. But instead of just talking negative about the Packers, I want to make sure we celebrate the Saints' defense. Mm-hmm. See, so many times when they had Drew Brees and you have Michael Thomas leading the league in catches, it overshadowed how stout their defense is. And they showed up yesterday and they stymied the Green Bay Packers and didn't allow them to score a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers threw one interception, fam. It was like a punt. Like, I almost ran out there and was about to try to catch it. Like, I got to give their defense crazy credit.
Absolutely. I mean, 38-3, and Jameis Winston looked so good. He really did. Sean Payton can win with any quarterback. He went with Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, of course, Drew Brees, and now he has Jameis Winston looking, at least in 1 week, like one of the best quarterbacks in the league, like the Jameis Winston of old, except no turnovers. If you'd have told me that one of these quarterbacks would have two interceptions, I would not think it would be Aaron Rodgers, but it was Jameis, and everything that this city is going through. They had to play this game in Jacksonville. Jameis Winston said the win was for the city. I'm so happy for the city of New Orleans, who love their Saints so much. What do you think of Jameis?
A story of perseverance. And remember, I said the same thing about he and Cam Newton, who both went from being starters to backups on one-year deals. Cam has been in and out of the Patriots. Jameis went there, sat a year behind Drew Brees, watched Tom Brady go to his former team and win the Super Bowl. Just think about that for a second. In this offseason, like seriously, y'all got me in a competition with Taysom Hill? Yeah, I know I done threw 30 interceptions, but dog, he led the league in yards before. He's been amongst the league leaders in touchdowns before. I'm not surprised to see the ultimate quarterback whisperer in today's game, Sean Payton, not only unlocked Jameis, who can make all of the throws, but made him as efficient as possible. It's not just the five touchdowns, Jacoby. It's the low amount of yards that he was doing it in. It's the low amount of attempts that he had. Every time he dropped back, every other pass seemed like a touchdown. And it was really impressive. So much so, even Drew Brees had to be like, you know what? The offense do look a lot better when somebody can throw the deep ball. Even he had to say that. He said what everybody was thinking.
Threw the ball 20 times and had five touchdowns. 25% of the time he dropped back, he got a touchdown. One was a little shovel pass, though. Those count as forward passes. But Kamara needs to be recognized as well for the game that he had. You mentioned the Super Bowl. The Chiefs were in that Super Bowl. Did not look great in it. They faced off against the Browns. If you remember last season, the Chiefs did this a lot. They came back from behind. They won a lot of close games, didn't blow out teams. They came from behind in this one and beat the Browns. What'd you think of Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Patrick Mahomes is so fun to watch, first and foremost. Like, he exceeds the expectation of when I'm watching him perform because I really don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what arm angle he's gonna throw it from. I don't know if he's gonna roll left. I don't know if he's gonna roll right. And here's the other thing. Doesn't he still have the cheetah? Doesn't he still have Travis Kelce? Like, both of those guys seem to be open at all times. And I know we want to get Andy Reid, and rightfully so, all of the credit. But dear people who are calling the game, there's somebody named Eric Bieniemy over there that's also pulling strings. They never said his name one time, so I'll make sure I say it. And watching the Chiefs play, initially they were behind Jacoby. Like, I want to give the Browns credit. Like, Baker Mayfield, they got off to a good start. KC was playing without Tyrann Mathieu and a couple of other defenders. The Browns were playing without Odell Beckham. And you know, I think the Odell Beckham and Baker relationship out on the field is going to be something that either plateaus or catapults the Browns into their goals. And so they really got off to a good start. Chubb was running and catching. Hunt was running and catching. They were moving the ball. And then you know what happened? The Kansas City Chiefs went in fast forward.
They always do.
And you know when they going fast forward, like, yeah. They just go into a different gear. Travis Kelce's catching everything. Cheetah, how about this play? They had a one play, like 70-yard touchdown strike. And at that point, it was deuces.
It was. I really thought the Browns were going to win this one. But if you are the Browns, you have to walk away from this and saying, we went toe-to-toe with the AFC champion. We had a big lead. A couple things bounced another way. Maybe we can win. Maybe we'll see these two again in the playoffs as we did last year. Jalen, remember I was right about that Saints prediction about Jameis Winston and the Saints? I was all wrong about the Steelers-Bills game. I think when I say they were going to win by three touchdowns, this was tough, man. This was tough to watch. The Steelers defense showed up. TJ Watt showed why he is the highest paid defender. What do you think about this upset from the Steelers in Buffalo?
One word, identity. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have probably had, what, three coaches in the last 60 years. Shout to the Rooney family who established that culture. But they're going to run the football and they're going to play tough defense. I don't care if they have Mean Joe Green. I don't care who they have defensively. That's what they want to do. They're going to score in special teams. They're going to keep the turnovers down and they stymie Josh Allen. Yep. And Stephon Diggs, you know what he was wearing yesterday? Pyrex Picasso Benny the Butcher cleats. And didn't score a touchdown. And did not score a touchdown. That's how stout the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by Mike Tomlin, were yesterday.
That block punt for a touchdown just changed everything. That really changed everything. And it just seemed like the Bills were on the precipice of bringing a drive together, getting a lead, getting sneaking away with a win. And every time, Big Ben just shut the door on them. Good win for the Steelers. Hope the Bills will bounce back. This play right here broke my heart. I was watching the game. I was looking around for flags. I was like, maybe set that out of bounds. But roughing the kicker, something. Nope. That was the game right there. Huge win for the Steelers. But Jalen Rose, also yesterday, Huge win for the Detroit Lions. Big win for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, Lions! Rawr! They had the ball in the fourth quarter in a one-score game against a legit contending team, Jalen Rose. Sure, you didn't win on the scoreboard, but you won in the hearts of Lions fans. Dan Campbell, put him in the Hall of Fame. Give him a trophy.
You know what I love about the early NFL season? The moral victories that we pass out. Mm-hmm. We've given one to the Cowboys. We've given one to the Browns. Now you're giving one to the Lions, right? And for anybody who decided to watch the game, I know it's probably only 10 of us watching it. From the beginning of the game, I knew we were in trouble. Here's why, Jacoby. On the first drive, we had a great drive. Great drive. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go for it on fourth down? Kick the field goal. You can't go against the 49ers stout front four running up the middle. And guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo fumbles the first snap. Three more downs. We try for a field goal that time. And then you know what happened when we finally try for the field goal? We miss it. And we had a top five pick last year. His name is Jeff Okuda, right? We didn't take Justin Herbert. I know the jury's still out on Tua, but I said free Matthew Stafford. Now people are watching him play and know how great he is. I know how great he is. But what about Deebo Samuels? How he just threw our DB out of the way and just went and hit his head on the goalpost like it was no big thing. So yeah, when the rest of the world started watching, we scored a couple of touchdowns, we got back into the game, but then all of a sudden it was late, and then you look up at the clock, and then people like you giving us a moral victory. But you know what? Our coach said something after the game that we must take and we must build off of it.
What's
it's
that?
About kneecaps.
Kneecaps.
And it's about what he's going to do with them and what we have to do with them. We'll be ready.
We're
going to
get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
See, that's the thing is you guys are down right now, but on the way up, you're going to bite a kneecap off. That's what's most important to this Lions team. Whew. 0-17 is on the board. On the board. We will see. The jury is out on Jared Goff as the leader of this team. But Jalen Rose, I don't know if you saw Matt Stafford last night. Did you see Matt Stafford last night?
I saw.
Your ex-quarterback looked great in the Rams uniform. The Rams waxed the Bears. Looked really good doing it. We'll break that down in all the rest of week one right after.
I've been yelling free Matt Stafford the last couple of years.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here, Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose in the nightcap. Your former quarterback of the Lions, Matt Stafford, now with the Rams, looked really good in his debut. What do you think about the Rams' performance last night?
I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. I'm even happy that they corrected showing the wrong person that was his wife on the telecast at some point of the telecast. It also shows me that a lot of people don't intimately watched the NFL, and I know he played for the Lions and he hasn't been playing in the playoffs and on a great stage, but he was on the Hall of Fame track playing with that team. That's how good he has been. He can make all of the throws. Of course he's had some durability issues. Of course he is, when he had to throw for 4,000 yards almost every year. But I'm happy for him to see him thriving amongst weapons on the outside, an offensive genius in Sean McVay, and two 99 club members on defense, and Jalen Ramsey, who now all of a sudden is up at the line of scrimmage, and they got him playing like a linebacker on certain plays, then they got him playing like a shutdown corner on other plays. He's willing to tackle. Aaron Donald still getting up the field. I just got to get both of those guys on the show because I need to talk to JR5, and then I need to ask Aaron Donald how he keep his hair so crisp, taking his helmet on and off his head for 60 minutes. I really need to know that.
I need to talk to Matt Nagy. Why aren't we putting Justin Fields in the game? Why aren't we putting Justin Fields in the game? Why are we waiting until they play the Lions in week four to put Justin Fields in and make him the starter? I really think that Justin Fields gives this team a much better chance to win. Might as well put him in the game while you can. Mr. Rose, the Cardinals looked really good yesterday. They were playing against the Titans. Kyler Murray was running all over the place, throwing touchdowns, running for touchdowns. What did you think about Kyler Murray's performance yesterday?
He reminded me of KRS-One. Because I'm not saying Kyler's the best. No, sorry, I'm lying. Yesterday, with touchdowns, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Like, when I'm watching the Cheetah, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray, they look distinctly faster than everybody else when they get going. And he got a rocket arm. And I know you saw D-Hop. Did you see D-Hop?
Of course I saw D-Hop.
You see him in the back of the end zone?
He's the best.
Using
the best
his receiver. Size, using his range. Did you see that? What about his second touchdown when they was in the red zone? Threw it on the inside shoulder, gave the guy a little shimmy, shimmy, yah, shimmy, yo, shimmy, yah. Turned it upfield, got the touchdown. Like, they look explosive. And the Rams and the Cardinals are gonna start being in the conversation of legit contenders in the NFC. I know you saw Seattle play well. The Packers struggled. The Bucs are the defending champs. But these two teams, and especially if Kyler Murray can stay healthy, are gonna be playing really well as the season progresses.
The NFC West is basically the opposite of the NFC East in many ways, shapes, and forms. Now, you mentioned the 5 touchdowns that Kyler Murray was responsible for, but there was also someone on the other side of the ball that had a big 5 number as well, and that was Chandler Jones. What do you think about his performance yesterday?
Taylor Lewan, fellow Wolverine, I applaud his tweet after the game of getting manhandled because he did. 5 sacks. You know the record for a season is like 22, right? Like, that's like the record, Michael. So was it 22 and a half? Like, he might have, like, this reminded me of Derek Thomas. Hey, youngsters out there, I was watching a game where Derek Thomas once had 8 sacks. But Twitter didn't exist for the offensive line to send out a tweet like this. And I applaud the accountability and the ownership. We're going to be paying attention, and the other defenders are going to be paying attention, because now guys are going to be wanting to try to see if they can line up in front of him and have a career day.
Well, Jalen, we mentioned the NFC West, and there's some good teams in that division. One of them led by Russell Wilson, the Seahawks. The Seahawks went up against the Colts and looked really good. 4 passing touchdowns for Russell Wilson.
You know what I love about Russ?
What's that?
My choice for preseason MVP, that right there. Those moon balls. I love those. Like, nobody in the league does it better. Don't at me. Matter of fact, do at me. Nobody does it better. You see the rocket? You see the rocket locket out there? Right? Mm-hmm. And Metcalf out there chiseled, running through people. What about my guy Carson? He got close to 100. I think he had like 91. They didn't have to really feed the big fella. Less than 20 carries, keep him fresh. When he's healthy, a 3-down back also is a game changer for Russ. The NFC's got some stout teams, my brother.
Jalen. I know you care about the Jalens out there. You mentioned Jalen Ramsey, but we also have to celebrate Jalen Hurts, who there were some questions about whether or not he was going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Well, he is the starting quarterback for the Eagles, and he looked good yesterday in their win against the Falcons. What do you think about this Jalen performance?
So here's the jury for me still out on Tua. I can't front. And I wanted my Lions to take him last year. And Jalen Hurts has shown me that he can ball. Like, I know that he has his weaknesses, right? All players do. And I'm not saying that he's a prospect like Justin Herbert, but he's a starting quarterback in the NFL in a dual threat. And he's tough and a great leader. Matter of fact, that's why I drafted him on the J&J fantasy team. I'm not surprised. And I was looking at the team on the other side, and you know we love our guy Kyle Pitts, who came on the show. Hopefully he becomes like a Waller, a Kittle, a Kelsey, a game-changing tight end. But you look closer at the Falcons, why they ain't take a quarterback? Why they ain't take Justin Fields?
Kyle Pitts looks good, but quarterback would probably look better for them moving forward.
Matt Ryan, future Hall of Famer. But yesterday he was looking washed. He was looking washed yesterday. Never was mobile.
Well, you mentioned Waller. We'll be seeing him tonight in Monday Night Football, and also another one of the most exciting players in the NFL, that man, Lamar Jackson. Two exciting players tonight in the matchup. We'll get you ready for that right after this. WNBA action Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC. It is the Aces taking on the Phoenix Mercury. We also have some WNBA action to show you right now on Jalen and Jacoby. Erica Wheeler just dropped Sue Bird. I love Sue Bird so much. I don't even show this anymore. Why are we doing Sue Bird like this?
Keep the crossover. That's why you never want to meet your legends.
Woo-hoo.
You got to make the shot. Gotta make the shot and gotta mean mug after. Check out that WNBA action. They be out there balling.
Jalen Rose in Las Vegas. It is the Ravens taking on the Raiders. What are you looking for in this one?
Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. First, second, and third. Like, they're without J.K. Dobbins and they're without Gus Edwards in the backfield. On defense, they're without Marcus Peters, but they still have Lamar Jackson. And they added weapons on the outside for him to throw to. I'm looking to see if he's going to be able to do that. And on the other side, John Gruden, Mike Mayock. Are they on the hot seat this year?
Ooh.
Is Derek Carr still their quarterback? Is Derek Carr still their quarterback?
We'll be back to break it all down tomorrow, ESPN2 at 4 p.m. Tune in. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. We want to hear from you, 985-80-JALEN. Jalen, we've got a lot more football games to get to that we didn't get a chance to talk to during the television portion. That's why we have the pod exclusive, because you said the jury's still out on Tua. But they won yesterday. I did not expect them to beat Mac Jones and the Patriots. Tua, you know, as he always has, serviceable, gets the job done, doesn't wow you like a Herbert. But he looked pretty good.
Shout to the Miami Dolphins and our producer, Brianna. That's her squad. Their owner, Stephen Ross. I consider him a friend, as you know. Shout to my guy, Danny Sillman. I'll be going to a lot of their games this year. So I'll just say this before you see me with the team. Before you see me on the sideline, before you see me with ownership. Shout to Brian Flores, who does a great job of putting together a defense. They're stout. The skill position players are in tow. The person I'm going to watch is Tua Tagovailoa. That's the person I'm actually going to watch. You heard what I said. With my two eyes, the jury's still out. Here's why. Seems like his throwing motion is a little slow. Looks a little short out there. Looks a little smallish when big guys fall on him. And you know what happens when you look or feel smallish when big guys fall on you? You get injured. And I saw them scheme that touchdown pass. Like, that was, like, I could have, no disrespect, but like, that was like left-handed heaven. Like, right there, just, you know, a little 5-yard dart. Like, I need to see the guy that came in the national championship game at halftime. I haven't seen him in a while. Mm. In particular, since he got hurt. And you know, I was the main guy that, like, we was tanking for Tua as a Detroit Lions fan. Free Matthew Stafford is what I was saying, and take Tua. I've been talking about this for 2 years. I've seen him play in the NFL now. I'm not saying that he's not going to be a great player, but here's what I am saying. Jalen Hurts looks better. What do you think about that?
Jalen Hurts obviously is the quarterback that he replaced in the national championship game that you were referencing. Jalen Hurts went on to play at Oklahoma while Tua took over as the quarterback in Tuscaloosa. Tua's very young. You got to keep that in mind. He's very, very young. He's still developing. And Brian Flores came from the Patriots organization. For some reason, even Matt Patricia beat Belichick and the Patriots. Even Matt Patricia and the Lions beat Belichick and the Patriots. There's something about people that leave the Patriots sort of
I got you. Easy. They know where the tapes are buried. That's an easy one. You don't throw me alive like that. Well, they already know.
I had my eye on the Bengals-Vikings game because it was going late. You know, so the other games was already started. You know, the 4 o'clock games were already started. The Bengals-Vikings game, 24-24 in overtime. They get down to like 2 minutes left in overtime too. Like they were down at the end of the overtime, and then rookie kicker McPherson put one through the uprights. You know what I like? They carried him off. You know, I just like it when, you know, these dudes, there's like 40 people going out there bruised, battered for 60 minutes, and then all of a 70 minutes, and then all of a sudden the kicker goes out there, kicks one through the upright, and then he gets celebrated like he did it all by himself. I like that. Good for him.
Well,
good for the Bengals.
Well,
good
I'm gonna tell Joe you Burrow. What I like. I'm gonna tell you what I like. Burrow to Chase. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. And you know what else I like? Non-vax Cousins to Thielen.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was out there killing them.
Yeah, and you remember when Chase was dropping balls? He was talking about how the balls didn't have the white stripe on it, so it was harder to locate and this and that. Didn't seem to be a problem yesterday. Joe Mixon also had himself a great game, 127 yards, one rushing touchdown.
But you know the thing about that game that really stood out to me the most? And this is why Minnesota actually lost. 12 penalties. That's why they lost. Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to win. Hard to win when you give up that many yards. Some key penalties as well. Well, Jalen, I thought that your Lions and the Houston Texans were going to go toe-to-toe for the number one pick. Yeah, I really thought. I thought it was, that was the race. That was the race for the number one pick. Well, the Lions did their half of the bargain, but the Texans went out and beat the number one pick and the Jaguars. What do you think of the Texans' performance and Tyrod Taylor?
Well, we'll beat the Jaguars, too. Trevor Lawrence, I think he had, two picks?
Yep. Three interceptions.
Three picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for Tyrod Taylor because a lot of people forget how he ended up not playing last year. He was dealing with an injury because he got a punctured lung by the medical staff of the Chargers, and that's how Justin Herbert got the opportunity to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to rebound the way he has, to take advantage of the opportunity the way he did yesterday, is another story of perseverance. And it was good to see David Johnson catch a touchdown, but I'm pretty sure the Cardinals will do that trade 500 times over.
You think?
Like, as soon as he scored, I'm like, D-Hop got more touchdowns than him already.
He sure does.
You know, they like a contending team. Like, they had Deshaun Watson and D-Hop a couple of years ago. Now, and Watson is dealing with his issues, and Hopkins is with the Cardinals, and we love the Cardinals, and we love Kyler Murray. And the Texans are not in the conversation. The Texans are not in the conversation for worst record in the NFL. But big shout out to Tyrod Taylor, though.
Big shout out to him. Kyler Murray yesterday, like, he just seems untackleable sometimes. It just seems like everyone is too slow. You know what I mean? Like, they should start, like, blitzing him with cornerbacks or someone that can tackle him because the lineman just can't mess with him. The lineman can't do anything with him.
When you watch him run, fam, he runs like he's not carrying a football. He runs like he's playing flag football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he don't want you to touch him.
It's him playing tag. It's like he's playing tag.
Like he's playing flag football. You know what I'm saying? And how about Chandler Jones? 5 sacks. Kyler had 5, responsible for 5 touchdowns. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks.
Okay, so 17 times 5. okay? We get 50 sacks after 10 games, and we add 35 on top of that. So he's going to end up with, 85 sacks on the season. 85 sacks and 34 forced fumbles if he keeps this up. You know one of his homeboys is like, you got 5 in week one. Like, you know, you only have to keep up a pace of like 1 or 2 per game now, and there you are.
And also, like, as a sports historian, I like to just throw names out there when I see great performances that I want one person to be enlightened and probably learn about this person. Derrick Brooks. No, I'm sorry, not Derrick Brooks. Derrick Brooks is my guy who has a school from Tampa Bay. Shout out to him, by the way. He's a Hall of Famer, defensive player, Derrick Brooks. Played with my guy Warren Sapp, QB killer. Mm-hmm. 99 representing the U. I'm talking about Derrick Thomas. Kansas City's Chiefs, Derrick Thomas. I remember watching a game, he had 8 sacks. Eight sacks. So anybody out there, check out Derrick Thomas. Neil Smith was on the line. Deron Cherry was one of the cornerbacks. Dale Carter was one of the quarterbacks. I remember my guy Flakes, Corn Flakes, Corwin Brown. He used to use the Kansas City Chiefs on Madden, and I used to use the Giants, LT and Everson Walls and Pepper Johnson. That was my squad.
Jalen, I know you saw the video before the Panthers game of a giant panther just running around the stadium, causing havoc, eating up the Jets flag. I thought that was pretty dope. I want to see it during the game, though. Like you can see, like, there are people on the field milling about. There weren't even really a crowd in there. I want to see this get unleashed. Are we gonna get a Detroit Lion?
You know, I always acknowledge originality. What you saw with that panther yesterday is gonna change sports the way we know it. Because mascots now have to have activity after that. It's no different than when my guy Mason, the in-game announcer for Detroit, when he starts screaming, Detroit basketball, and we start introducing Ben Wallace with the big gong, and it was Chauncey, Billups. And then before you know it, you start going around the league, they start firing the in-game announcers because they was trying to keep up. That's what's about to happen now with these mascots. A lion now has to come to life. It can't just be sitting on a hoodie. It got to come to life now.
Here's a problem, though. Here's a problem. You can't see it if you're there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a graphic trick. It's like a TV trick. Like, if we can have Tupac at Coachella, we should be able to have a big line that the people in the arena can see. That's next.
Well, there are a couple of NBA teams, and it got highlighted in the bubble. The Toronto Raptors come to mind. Of when you watch them on TV, when you look on the baseline underneath the basket, they superimpose their logo or advertisements and stuff like that. And as you mentioned, Machiavelli the Don, Tupac Amari Shakur, 25 years ago today, we lost him.
One thing I know about Jalen Rose is when we play basketball, he's very particular. What ball are we gonna use? What ball are we gonna use? He can't have sleeves. The gym has to be a certain way. And it's gotta be inside. So now after the Field of Dreams game in baseball was so successful, the NBA is looking at doing something similar. You know, putting some hardwood down outside or something like that. What do you think of this idea? Because I can already hear NBA players complaining about it.
You have to do it to grow the game. So it's going to take place. And we've seen it happen in college basketball where they played on cruise ships or yachts.
Yep, aircraft carrier, yep.
Now, the difference, however, is players today, unlike when I grew up, don't play outside at all. See, before I got to the league, I was playing outside just as much, if not more, than I was inside. Now with the specialization of basketball and players just don't want to fall on the concrete and you're trying to protect your knees, your joints, and your ligaments from running on it and jumping on it and stuff like that, most players, I bet there are players in the league right now that have barely played outside.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember, there's people in the league that are 21 years old, 20 years old. Like, going to the park and playing basketball all day long is just not something that people do anymore. They just don't do that anymore. They really don't. But I'm still out there in the park.
Do you know why I like to play outside, Jalen?
Do I like to play outside? Because I can't shoot. So it just levels the playing field for everybody.
What you do is, it's all about who playing. And it's all about the weather. Like, you can do it at a time where playing outdoors isn't going to have a major effect on the trajectory of the ball. Because that's really what you care about. And you care about the integrity of records and percentages and that type of thing. But for the most part, it's going to happen. I think it's a great idea for it to happen. That's no different than watching collegiate teams play night football games and then hockey teams playing outdoor games in college. It's happening. It's trending towards taking place. I won't be surprised when it happens in the NBA, and I like it, but you misspoke. I love playing outside. I just don't like falling.
You hate falling more than anything.
Correct. If you make me fall, I'm going to the trunk for sure. At this point in my life, I'm popping the trunk.
Jalen Rose's falling. Jalen, Michigan Wolverines 2-0. Big win over Washington, 31-10.
We lost our number one receiver. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. And Ohio State lost this weekend. That's always a positive thing in Ann Arbor. Lost to Oregon. But I can't really get too enthusiastic or I'm not going to get too braggadocious just yet because I know we still got to play Michigan State and Penn State and Wisconsin and Ohio State. But 2-0, I'm really excited about that start.
Good. We had some really interesting baseball in New York City, Citi Field in Queens, the Yankees, the Mets, the Subway Series. Lindor hit a home run, started mocking the Yankees. Stan hits a home run, sort of mocks them back. They come out from the dugouts. Next thing you know, 6-6, bottom of the eighth inning. Lindor hits his third home run of the game, giving the Mets the win. And right now, Reggie the Leggy's not gonna be happy about this. Right now, the Yankees are out of the playoffs right now, Jalen Rose. Out of the playoffs. Remember that win streak they were on? Reggie was happy every day. They could miss the playoffs.
It was all good just a week ago. But here's National Media 101. Let me teach everybody something. This is not necessarily true because the audience is a lot smarter than we give them credit for. But what ends up happening is, if you notice, we're not talking about the Yankees right now because they're not winning. And then all of a sudden, when they're winning, they're leading off every show, right?
Yep.
Find a way to talk about the Lakers. Find a way to talk about the Cowboys. Find a way to talk about LeBron. Find a way to talk about Tom Brady. That's 80% of the content you watch on all of the shows. Not Jalen and Jacoby. We're going to talk about what happens right now. And
well, Jalen,
if we can talk about it yesterday or tomorrow, we don't necessarily have to talk about it today.
Well, I got to talk to you about something, Mr. Rose, because you were in my neck of the woods. You were in Western Massachusetts. You were at the Hall of Fame. Tell us about the event.
So I'll just digest and be 1,000, like how each step went. So first I want to shout out Chris Webber for getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Macy Elwood, well deserved, as I've chronicled so many different things that he brought to the court that was a game-changing thing for bigs in particular. With his bulk, to have his soft hands and his great feet, with his size to still have his power, but yet be a 20-10-5 kind of guy. Game changer, spin out lobs, number one player in high school, number one pick out of college, five-time All-Star. No surprises, should have actually been gotten in.
Facts.
Shout to Chris Bosh. You know, I also played with him, and I'm gonna get back to my weekend and my excursions. Shout out to Chris Bosh also. You know, I played with him earlier in his career. Always talked to him about shooting that right block turnaround jumper that he eventually perfected. But he also, in a lot of ways, was a new era big because of his body type, the opposite of Macy Weber. Total different body types. Chris is bulky, strong, physical. Chris Bosh is wiry, strong, but still can guard multiple positions, rim protect, grab boards. One of the most important plays of his career was a board. Kicks it out to Ray Allen for a three-point shot, right? Won championships along Bron a long way. Great to see him there. Great to see them there. Shout to Pat Riley, who I got a chance to give dab to and kick it with. Shout to Eric Spoelstra, who you know I love, and that's my fantasy coach. Shout to Paul Pierce, the truth. The year he got picked, we basically worked out together and broke bread that entire summer. For a guy that fell to the 10th pick to the Celtics, grew up in Inglewood, rooting against the team that he eventually became a Hall of Famer and the second all-time leading scorer for. And you know I worked with him a couple of years on Countdown. That's my brother, I love him. Shout out to Big Ben Wallace. I don't know if you have a gong, Reg the Ledge, but along with Dennis Rodman, he's one of those guys that come to mind as a defensive player of the year multiple times that can heavily impact a game without scoring. Without scoring. I look down at so many box scores, and Dennis Rodman and Ben Wallace have over 15 rebounds but less than 10 points. But still have multiple blocks, multiple steals, and really, like, fear to throw was a real thing in Detroit. Shout out to him. Happy for a guy that went undrafted that eventually made it to the Hall of Fame. Now, I went on Saturday. I was fortunate enough to fly with the brass from the Detroit Pistons from the Clearport. Shout out to Aaron Tellem. Shout out to the Pistons GM, Trey Reber. Head coach, Dwayne Casey and his wife. Motorcade Cunningham. Isaiah Beef Stewart. Shout out to my guy, Bay. The young fellas was there with us. Shout out to the OG, the legend, one of the top 50 players of all time, David Bing. He was also there. And you know what? He talked to us about how currently they're coming up. Get ready for this, Jacoby. They're coming with a new top 75 players that's going to get revealed over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Who's and that? And there are certain players that were in the top 50 that won't be in the top 75.
Huh.
And I believe that there are 10 current players that legends and media voted to be a part of the greatest 75 players in the history of the league. And I was asking a lot of questions about, did he get in? Did he get in? Did he get in? And I was surprised by a few people that didn't get in. One person that stands out to me is Bob Lanier. Another one, if I remember correctly, is Gary Payton. Another one that I was recalling asking, did he get in but didn't get in? Bob McAdoo. Here's the other thing. Hey, man, let me tell you something. Dear NBA, the players that played in the ABA, their statistics should count along with their NBA statistics. You're doing a game a disservice. You're doing the history of the league a disservice. You're doing those players a disservice by not including their ABA stats. It's just laughable. So the beauty of flying from the Clearport with VIPs, like I just mentioned, Jacoby, instead of me doing the 10 a.m. flight that I was initially scheduled, and then the 6 a.m. on Sunday, so I could get back to watch football, and I was gonna be asleep all day and tired. Got on the plane at like 1:30. Touchdown at like 3:30. And let me tell you something funny. I'm at the crib getting ready. And I was trying to decide if I was going where on the plane what I was wearing to the Hall of Fame. And I look at Troy and I was like, I know Juwan gonna do that. I know for a fact he is.
I like to be comfortable when I fly. I don't wear hard bottoms on the plane.
But I don't want to carry a bag, is what I said. Because I know when I leave the hotel to go to the Hall of Fame, I am not going to want to keep up with that bag. So I told myself, because I changed before I left the crib, I ain't taking no phone charger. I ain't taking the second phone. If it don't fit in my pocket or it don't fit in my coat pocket, it ain't going with me. Juwan get on the plane, got his Garmin bag, wearing his shorts, right? We both land like 3:34. The first event started 4. Between like 4 and then there's a red carpet at 6 and then the ceremony's at 7. We both land. Everybody else, since it's almost 4 o'clock, is going to the 4 o'clock ceremony. Me and Juwan still need to go to the hotel. I'm already dressed. He's carrying his Garmin bag. So I'm just looking at him, he looking at me. He like, I gotta go meet C-Webb's barber. I got my barber meeting me too. We bust out laughing. We go back to the hotel. I get a quick shape up. He get a quick shape up. We leave out of the hotel, running into everybody. Jamal Wilkes, Dr. J.
We at the MGM?
Leaving the MGM, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Allen, Dikembe Mutombo. Bill Walton called me Chris Webber on purpose. I know he did. That's why I just ignore him.
I don't think so.
He don't like me. It's fine. It's all. You don't have to. He ain't like me for 30 years, dog. He ain't like me for 30 years. It's fine, dog. You don't have to sugarcoat. It's fine. We ain't got to do this whole song and dance. It's
I love fine. This. Yeah. I love Bill I know Walton, for, Jalen Rose beef. Yeah.
We don't have beef. We do not have beef. He just don't like me. He don't like the Fab Five. It ain't just, he don't, you can Google it. Do your research. St. Thomas, that was me first. But anyway, here's what I do know. The Big O does. Big O love me. That's my man. And I'm standing there talking to the Big O for like 10 or 15 minutes. Juwan like, we need to go to the ceremony. And I'm gonna just be real with you after this point. At that point, it was every man for himself. And so I Ubered, none available, none available, none available. Mm. Kept Uber. One became available. Juwan with his Tom Ford suit. Jalen Rose with his Dolce & Gabbana suit. We jumped in that Honda Odyssey, dog. We sure did. All 6'8 and 6'9 and a half, 250, 40 of both of us, right? But we go to where everybody was from 4 to 6. So we jump out the Honda Odyssey. Boom. Juwan still got these two bags. And he got his Garmin bag. See, I don't have nothing. We at the wrong spot. We see our bodyguard, Rick Mahorn. Horn got the Sprinter Benz on lock. Vet got the guy on text. Got the driver on text. Like, he in the car. Like, I am not playing around.
More than you. He's been to more of these than you have.
Yeah, he's a vet. Seasoned Lowry's, right? So Juwan, me, and Horn drive over to the Hall of Fame. We jump out, we stroll in or whatever. Juwan sees Pat Riley. You know, Juwan, you know, they navigating because Juwan got a different seat. So when, you know, the Fab Five get acknowledged, they can show him. I don't have that seat.
You don't have a seat.
I don't have a ticket. To be honest with you.
You never have a ticket. You can never.
You know what I'm saying? And this is not like shade at all to the experiments. I was there to celebrate C-Webb. I didn't ask him for a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got other family members and friends, and I know people he had to look out for, that type of thing.
Yeah, you don't want to be a burden.
Right. When Juwan Howard becomes the head coach of Michigan, I don't hit him up for tickets. I buy season tickets. And so I'm strolling in with Juwan and Pat, but then I noticed they got different emails that they whipping out. You know how that works, Jacoby? Like,
the scan code. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Juwan been equal for like 5-6 hours. Now we walk up in here, he whip out the second email. I'm like, I don't have that email, dog. They left me off of those notifications. So I just got to thug it. So, you know, I do my Derrick Henry, you know, I Heisman a couple of people to get in there, you know what I'm saying? And I end up sitting down. And let me show you how the man above worked. Soon as I walk in, I cannot make this up. I look straight up at the screen. They're starting the Chris Webber ceremony. I literally started recording it while I was trying to walk towards a seat, because I ain't have one, right? So I'm recording it, and I'm walking to try to get a seat, and shout to the brass of the Bulls, who I played for, because Tony Kukoc was there. Tony Kukoc was also there being honored. Mm-hmm. I ended up sitting on the row with them. I even grabbed a couple of their Naismith pamphlets and snatched those and walked with them too, right? And so, I was recording the ceremony. I got a chance to get it all. And Ben had already went. And C. Webb had already went. And Juwan had already talked to Pat and already had talked to Bosch. So I'm sitting still chilling. And I look to the left. I see Dwayne Casey kind of easing out. I'm like, all right, I'm about to sit tight. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I see Cade Cunningham jump up. I'm like, no, y'all ain't leaving me. I jump up. I ran.
I'm not flying the 6 a.m. flight tomorrow. You don't have to tell me. No one has to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, we're going to leave now.
Correct. As soon as I see the number one pick, the franchise leaving,
Yeah. They told Cade. They went over to Cade
correct.
To Cade.
They didn't tell me.
Yeah, they didn't tell you.
They figured that I was gonna go on the second plane. I'm like, nah, I'm going on first plane. Nah, y'all ain't leaving me. No. And Dwayne Casey, dog, when you see him, cause we gonna go to some games, he gonna tell you this story, cause he died laughing. He looked up, I was right in his face. Like, where we going, coach? What's the plan, coach? Like, we was in the huddle. Like, y'all ain't leaving me. As soon as I saw franchise
get
up.
A lot of texts and emails you're not on.
Nah. Mm-mm. I sat back. I'm like, I'm going to watch Motorcade. As soon as he got up, I'm like, I'm about to get up too, because they ain't leaving him. Mm-mm. But it was a great time. I'm glad I went. I'm really happy for the brothers that got elected. And for those that ask about our personal relationship and about like the Fab Five, this wasn't about that. You know, I would have loved to see Ray and Jimmy there. They weren't able to make it. I would love for y'all to have the signature picture of me, him, Juwan, and the rest of the Fab at the, you know, Hall of Fame. That didn't happen. But he got elected. And I was there, we were there to celebrate him in his moment. And, you know, I could go into some of the things I felt like I heard in his speech, but it was his speech. I ain't here pick it apart. I ain't here to second guess it. I'm gonna celebrate him. I'm gonna allow him to enjoy being elected into the Hall of Fame. And that's what I went and did.
Good for him. Congratulations, Chris Webber, and all the other inductees of the National Basketball Hall of Fame. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pot of step two. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
They was about to leave me, dog. They was about to leave me.
No, it's not that they wasn't about to. They tried to leave you.
I got on the plane, and everybody was just sitting. No, I got on the bus, and I looked around while everybody was, like, moving around. I was like, y'all really was about to leave me, wasn't y'all?
Did Juwan make it?
And I'm glad you brought that up. I love you so much. That's why we're a great team. We got on the plane. I say, Juwan, where your bags at? One of them was missing. He started out with two bags. On the plane going back, had one bag. So I was right. I did not want to keep up with a bag. We're not done. The Fab Five should be going in the Hall of Fame immediately. We are not done. Got to give the people time.